the home. And thirdly, to challenge the modern trend of fashion that endangers the true Christian family and the home in this 21st century that you and I live in. You see, many Christians do not see their homes as be sacred and sanctified as the church anymore. They undervalued and underestimated God's perspective for their homes today. I believe that you will agree with me that we have a great church here that consists of great people with great families and great homes. That, I believe, is making a great church. And I believe that you will agree with me that this little church is truly a blessed church. It's a healthy church. If I must put it in this way, it's a prosperous church. Not only spiritually, but also physically. Because quite a few babies, we are here for about a year now. And quite a few babies was born over this time. And if I'm not mistaken, there's still a few that will arrive in the next few months or years or whatever. You see that, and I was just looking this morning, and I believe that even in this small church, we have two couples with twins. The one twin, boys or girls are here this morning, and our pastor Carl and his wife Marissa has the other twins. So this is a healthy church, man. This is a church that I know that is growing to the honor of God. Carl is a pastor of this church. He's not here this morning. But he has a team, and with his team, they are busy building this church up. I believe they are building this church, firstly, by building healthy people. So that the healthy people can build healthy families. In order to build healthy homes. Because this is one of the primary purposes for the church of God, a healthy home. If we do that, we are building a great and a healthy church that will be the byproduct to the glory of God. You know what? God began the human existence with a marriage relationship, with a family. The first community that God has established was a family and a home. In the beginning of the creation, we read that God had communion with the man, Adam, in the garden in Eden. In the context of a family. And that was long even before the existence of the church. In God's divine order of things, He desires that everyone, every living human being, must have a family structure. This is how that God has designed His creation. God wants no one to live without the comfort of others that whom they can share their life experiences with. Even lonely single people, people that was perhaps separated from their natural families, God will give you a family. God can give you a group of people that can care for you and for who you can care if you will just turn to God for help. He can give you a church family. So if anyone is here today who do not have a family of your own or who do not have a healthy home, you can find it in the church. Because the ultimate earthly fulfillment of this promise of God for healthy homes and healthy families is for the believer, is the church of God. I believe that you will agree with me that today there are more pressure on the home than perhaps ever that was existed in the human race. Many couples today see this necessity or the desire to that both the mother and the father must go out to work. And I believe that many parents here feel guilty about leaving your small children at home in the care of others, maybe families of babysitters, and go to work. And then just know that this afternoon they will return back home to a cold, empty home without families. You know what? I believe that Carl and Maritza won't mind me share this with you. A few weeks ago, I phoned Carl, and I didn't notice it was lunchtime. It was during his lunch break. But when he picked up the phone, I could just hear children screaming at the background. And he said, you know what? I just came home from the office. It's my lunch hour now, and I'm busy getting something to eat, and the children need their attention, and the baby want to be picked up. And I was just laughing. I said, Carl, you know what? You have a healthy home. This, for me, is a healthy home. Because my wife and I have first-hand experience with that. My oldest daughter, Dinah Lee, she never wants us to leave home without her. And I don't know why, that just the moment that we have to leave, Dinah Lee wakes up. And then she starts crying. Please pick me up. Please pick me up. Although you're late, you know, you have to pick her up. And then she will always say, nog net een drukkie. Nog net een drukkie, asseblief. Every time it feels that my heart was breaking in 1,000 pieces when I have to tear her off me and put her into the hands of the babysitter. But I know she's an adult today, and she's working too, and I know she understands why we had to leave her. I believe that many of you as parents can identify with me and Carl this morning, that it's hard to leave our children at home. But did you see, this is how that life is today. This is so sad to see how many women and men still devote more attention and time to their working life than to their family life. This is no wonder why so many homes are in trouble today, because of the things from outside. To work and to provide, please, let me make it very clear to you. All of us have to work to stay alive. To work is good. To work and to provide for your family is very, very important. But it must have its limit. It must not consume all your time and your energy, so that there is nothing left for your family, your husband, your wife, and your children. I don't believe there is a bigger achievement in life than it is equal to a happy home, and to bring up successful children in the praise and the love of their parents. You know, we as parents may meet every material goal in life, but sadly, that also will pass away. But the inheritance of our children is timeless. Parents, if we have to leave something behind for our children, if you can leave money, praise the Lord for that. But the inheritance of a spiritual walk with God, that is timeless, that we as parents can leave for our children. If there's anyone here today that did not grow up in a healthy home, don't feel bad about it. Because you can start now. Even if you're a young boy or a young girl, you can start now praising, asking the Lord, and working towards bringing your children up one day in the praise and the love of their parents. Because the primary responsibility of every parent is to make sure that our children grow up in homes where God is honored and where the love of Christ reigns. We have a great example of a couple that is serving the Lord in our text. From this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, I believe that God intend for the Christian life to be a healthy family. The Bible teaches us that it's ideal for the entire family to love and to serve God together. You know what? I think it's the most wonderful thing to know that me and my household, we can together serve the Lord. I want to give you a few examples of families that serve the Lord together. The Philippian jailer in Acts 16:31. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your entire household. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you and your entire household can be saved. The family of John the Baptist in Luke 1:15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Luke 1:41 said, and it come to pass that when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary, that a baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 67 said, and his father, this is John the Baptist's father, was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he started prophesying. Here you have it, a father, a mother, and a son. Everyone is filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul described the family tree of Timothy in such a great way. He said, Timothy comes from a godly mother who herself was raised by a godly mother. My wife and I are both raised by godly parents. So we left a godly inheritance, and we want to pass that godly inheritance that our parents have left for us to our children. Because it's our job, it's our duty, parents, to train up our children in the way that they should go. God has given us children to train them up in the way that they should go. And in our text, we see that this married couple was worshiping and serving God together. I believe that they had children. The Bible didn't say anything about children, but I believe that they were a family together. I just want to reconstruct the story about Priscilla and Aquila shortly for you. I believe that we have many, maybe hundreds of ingredients that makes up a great family. But I just want to touch on a few of them. Firstly, a Yafi family must be a saved family in order to have a Yafi home. A Yafi family must be a saved family in order to have a Yafi home. This couple, Priscilla and Aquila, they lived in Rome, in Italy, in Rome. The name Priscilla is a Roman name. And if you will look it up, and you will see that history tells that Priscilla comes from a prominent, a very noble living home in Rome. On the other hand, Aquila, on the other hand, was a Jewish name. So you see that this young Jewish boy married this young Roman girl. And that was not acceptable in those days. Because the Jews and the Romans, they hated each other. So according, I was looking it up in the Bible, Believer's Bible Commentary, because I want to see what was the reason. And they said that a huge wave of anti-Semitism, and this is such a big word for me, I tried to look it up and I couldn't find the explanation what anti or anti-Semitism mean. So the only conclusion that I could come to is that was a kind of discrimination. Because it was a Roman girl that married a Jewish boy. Okay, this anti-Semitism has swept in the land through those days, and the Romans hated the Jews. So the emperor of Rome, Claudius Caesar, has just made a proclamation or a ruling that all the Jews must leave Rome. So that has put this family under a lot of pressure. Because it's always hard to pack up and leave, to move away from the place, from your family, from your friends, a place where you have grown up. So this couple did not choose to leave. They were forced to leave. And this is a very good illustration of this 21st century families of today. All of us are under incredible pressure from without and from within. So many of us have to move away, or the husband is working somewhere, the mother is working somewhere, children is separated because of this. So this is this family was under distress. Stress and tension is a huge part of the home today. With the pressure of work, with the pressure of school, time, finances that we live under. And when children enter the household, the more the children come, or the older the children become, the more the stress in the house is coming. You know what my mom, a few years ago, she said, I don't know what is the stress. Because when we grow up, there never was a thing like stress. And I believe that the people in the 40s and the 60s who was born that day didn't believe in a thing like stress. But stress is here today with our young families. You know what? I was shocked this weekend. This week, I think it was on Wednesday, when I read in the newspaper what the Minister of Health and Social Services said. She said that the main reason or the leading cause of death of teenagers is suicide. And that was shocking. That more teenagers died at their own hand than of natural causes. And I did a little bit of a research on this, and it was shocking. And I want really our church to pray against it. I learned through the research that I was doing that the time when a child reached the age of 13 and 14 as a freshman at high school, the peer pressure and the family issues is so strong that at the time that that child graduates, that class that child started in freshman, two-thirds of that class will use drugs. 2 in 5 of them will be alcoholics. 60% of them will smoke, will use tobacco on a daily basis. 46% of babies born out of wedlock will be to kids that age. 1/3 of all the abortions that will perform on girls that age will be between the freshman year to the senior year of their school. And 65% of kids in that category will be sexually active. I was just sitting there at my table in my house, honestly, and a great sadness has come over me. And there in my house I was praying. That was Thursday afternoon when I was doing this sermon. I just said, God, we need you. Our people need you. Our land need you. And I really pray that this will be an eye-opener for every one of us here. Young people, you don't have to count in that presentations or percentages. You don't have to count in them. You can work towards it to be in the percentage of the ones who didn't do it. You know what? We need a revival. We need a revival in our homes. We need a revival of families that will start with mothers and fathers, that will start with moms and dads, that will start with family members that devoting themselves to God, in getting serious by serving God and God alone. People, this is the only way that we can stop this. If we reach out firstly to our own families and then reach out to our church families. We need our families to have a healthy fear for Satan. You know, John 10:10 said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And this is what he's doing. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy our young people. But praise God, Jesus said, He came that we might have life in abundance. You know, honestly, I don't know how that anyone can raise a family, a healthy family, without God. I don't know how that anyone can say, I can raise my family without God and without the help of a good, strong Christian family. Aquila and Priscilla were a family under very, very much pressure. But praise the Lord, they were also a family under divine intervention. We as God's children, our families is also under a lot of pressure. But praise God that we are a family under divine intervention because we serve God. God was working on their own way in the life of this couple behind the scenes, for their good and for God's own glory. God was in the process of bringing something quite wonderful into the life of this couple, of this family. You see, they were being kicked out of Rome and were traveling east towards Corinth. Paul, on the other hand, he was in Athens, and God spoke to him and said, you need to go to Corinth too. So he was traveling west in the opposite direction that this couple was traveling. There they met face to face. It was the beginning excuse me, of something wonderful that would last for the rest of their life. You know what? Sometimes God put people in our life and we don't know why. We don't know why we have to meet this person. Isn't it the way that God is working? Someone He brought people together for a reason and a season in life. I believe that 90% of the time that God brought people together, when you meet someone, it must be for a good reason. I believe that God will never bring people together if He didn't have a reason for that. Sometimes we do meet people. Sometimes people walk into our life and immediately step out of it. That also happens. But the most of the time, God put people together for a reason. Like Paul and Aquila, whose strait was tent making. The same that Paul's strait was. They were tent makers. So God, in His great wisdom, brought the two of them together. I just imagine they were working together. And what do people do when they work together? They start talking. Paul talked about Jesus Christ. Paul tell this couple about Jesus Christ. He shared a wonderful story of the gospel of Jesus. Jesus' birth, His ministry, His death and His resurrection. This couple, I believe, was mesmerized by the hearing of the sweet story that they ever have heard. And they were gloriously saved by Paul. This is what God maybe want to do with you and me. God want us to speak to our colleagues. Don't be shy. If you are a child of God, talk to them. Tell them about God. Tell them about His ministry. Tell them about His birth, His life, His ministry, His death, and His resurrection. That is how our God is. If we get right with Him and follow Him, He will let us cross our paths with others who need Him. At just the right time, in just the right way. Aquila and Priscilla had a similar experience. And that was not an accident, not a coincidence. But like I have said, it was a divine intervention from God Himself. They become a great family against all odds. And to be a great family, you must be a saved family. Even if only one of you are saved in the family, it's a good start. If only one of you know the Lord Jesus Christ, people, it's a good start. I'm so thankful to learn from Aquila and Priscilla that though they were just tent makers by trade, that was not their main business. Their main business was serving the Lord. A great family is a saved family. A saved family becomes a serving family. And a serving family will then become a sanctified family. That means a family set aside from this world, separated from this world. Our highest calling, brothers and sisters, is our own children, our marriages, and our homes. I hope everyone here can have a safe family. I hope everyone here's family is start serving others. And I hope that every family here will be a sanctified family. A family that will be set apart for the Master's use. I want to share just a last few thoughts before closing with you. In too many Christian homes today, there has been an abandonment of responsibility of godly leadership, family worship, and spiritual discipline. How do we experience a genuine divine blessing in our homes? What can we do to reinitiate God's pattern for the home? The first what we can do is we can choose to make our home His home. You and I today can choose to make my home God's home. Joshua 24:15 say it so great. He said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You know what? It will be awesome if you can say, me and my household, today we also serving the Lord. Joshua has made a choice for his home. His choice was for his household to worship and to serve the only true God alone. That was a choice against idolatry. It was a choice for faithfulness. Regardless of the choices of others, Joshua's wife and his children know which way he is leading them. Fathers, are we leading our wives and our children today? Are we still doing it today? The challenge of Joshua Day are not less than those that we, you and I, are living in here today. We have to choose. We have to choose to live according to God's design in our homes and our family. It don't come automatically. We have to choose to do it. Jacob also made a clear decision for the spiritual direction of his family. And you can put it down and read it in Genesis 35. Verse 2 to 5. The question that I want to send you home today with, is your home God's home? Is your home His home? It is not good saying, well, of course, I'm a Christian. It involves much more than that. Here, there is a worldly, material pressure on our Christian homes today, which compromise with our highest spiritual values today. Do we behave at home the same way we behave at work or in church? Are we surrounded daily with opportunities to offer greater worship to other worldly things and people than to God? Are we worshiping things more than we worship God? I'm left with this undying influence of parents who taught and modeled a real relationship with God. Whatever happy or difficult times that we as a family have faced, living in such a way brings blessing to one home, to one's home. Even if you are the only Christian, as what I have said, even if you are the only Christian in an unbelieving home, that can bring blessings to that house. Believe it with your whole heart today. Even if you are the only one that know Jesus Christ, it can bring blessings to that home. You can read it up in Psalm 128, verse 1 to 6. Are we welcoming God's presence? The second thing, are we welcoming God's presence into our home? 2 Samuel 6:11 said, and the Lord bless him and his entire household. When God's presence is welcome and encouraged in a home, that home are truly blessed. It's only when we encourage and welcome God's presence in our homes that that house is being blessed. God ordained leadership in our homes. God wants to be acknowledged. He wants to be valued. He wants to be treasured in our homes. You know what? I was looking through it and I was standing still at the story of Noah. And because I read it up in just the one verse in Hebrews 11:7 that said, by faith, Noah, when warned about these things, not yet seen, in holy fear for these things that he haven't seen, built an ark to save his family. Noah built this ark because he had a holy fear for what is coming, to save his family. Noah did it. He couldn't save his family. Noah did all he could to save his family from the approaching judgment on this earth. He could not drag his family into that ark, but he warned them and built their way to escape in his house. You know, this is what we as parents can do. We can't bring our children to salvation. We can't drag them to serve the Lord. But we can show them the way to the Lord. To all parents and prospective parents, the salvation of our homes is our supreme importance. Even though that you don't have children today, just know this, that the salvation of our homes is of supreme importance. We cannot save our families. Only God can save our families. You and I can't do it. But what we can do, we can build into our homes what God has given us. A home that will always point our family to the Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what you and I can do. We can do what God has given us. God gave us so much. We can use it and we can build a home that will show our children the way to Jesus Christ. Our children will make their own choices. And I have adult children already. All of them have made their own choices already. But we must point them into the right direction. One day our children will leave home. The same that has happened with me. Some of my children have left home already. One day they will set up home themselves. But our prayers, I know, my wife and my prayers is always that they also will say one day, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let us go home today, beloveds. Let us go home today. Let us start exalting God in our homes. Let us example Christ's likeness in our homes in order to encourage God's faithfulness in our homes. As parents, let us educate our children in the way, in God's ways in our homes. Let us start establish godly values in our homes. Our primary responsibility is to be sure our children grow up in homes where God is honored and where God's love is reigning. Do your children sense that Christ is the center of your home? Is He the head of your house? Is Christ the head of your house? Is He the silent listener to every conversation in your home? Is He the unseen guest at your table at every meal? You decide it. You make the decision this morning. God bless you all. Thank you.